Welcome to the Life Podcast. We're so glad that you are joining us for another hope-filled message. And our prayer is that you are encouraged by this powerful Sunday sermon.
It's great to be connecting with everybody. And as Pastor Lucas said, everyone online, first time in church, we're going to be talking about a subject that is incredibly crucial to human living. And that's the area of finance. So we're going to pray in a moment, but I just want to encourage you. Some people say, well, I hate it when churches talk about money. I think the challenge with most churches is all you hear is about you need to give more, but you never discover a pathway with your finances and how to find God's wisdom, because God's got wisdom for every part of our life. So let's take a moment to pray. Father, we thank you today. Holy Spirit, you are here, you're with us. And we pray that there'll be clarity, that each one of us as individuals will hear what you want us to hear. And God, that we won't allow our current situation to direct or dictate our future, but we will hear from your word, which liberates. And we just pray that there will be a special sense of your presence as we communicate. I pray that you'll give me the ability to have clarity of mind in the name of Jesus. Amen. So like I said, thanks team. I think 40 plus years of being in full-time ministry, there are many things that you come across that you go, that's not working for me. That might be the way that God sees it, or that is what the preacher's saying, but what's the answer to my circumstance? And I think our commitment as a church has always been that we would see God work miracles. But I want to give you a thought, and I think we've got it on the screen. And it's this thought, that a breakthrough life is a principled life. A principled life. Most people are looking for the now experience, but I've found over so many years, just in my own personal walk and just living life, and then from God's point of view, that God presents to us principles, foundations for standing on that will cause us to get a breakthrough over time. And there's a great part of the verse in Proverbs 11. Luke, why didn't you read that to us?
It says, a principled life can stand up to the worst.
I want you to hear that. This is God's word. Yeah. Not just a feeling life. Yeah. Not just, well, you know, I hope it gets better, and even, God, I'm praying for it. And God says, yeah, but a principled life is what's going to cause you to stand in the worst storm you can imagine.
Right.
And often when we get to a time of calamity, we react, or we're in a place of trying to find answers. But God says, no, come back to a principled way of living. And when I think particularly when it comes to our finances, that is a big part of our world. So I've entitled the message today, How to Create a Pathway of Financial Freedom. Creating a financial freedom pathway. You see, if you get the pathway right, you're going to get to the destination. But if we don't have the pathway completely put together, we're not going to find a breakthrough. And my personal financial journey is an interesting one, because as early as I can remember, my parents says, God's way when it comes to money is that you are to give the first tenth to God. And I go, what does that mean? Because I only get a packet of lollies. Well, one out of 10 goes to someone else at least. But your first tenth goes to God. So I embraced, and Marie and I have embraced this our whole lives, the principle of tithing. But I think we were married something like 23 years. And in that journey, we had faithfully tithed, as I can honestly say, hand on heart, as far as I can remember back, there hasn't been a time where I haven't tithed, or we haven't tithed the first tenth of our increase. And you might sit there and say, well, what do you mean? I've even heard people say that have no faith or little faith. They say the problem with church is all they want to do is take your money. And I want to tell you this, that if anybody puts pressure on you to give, you shouldn't be giving.
Right.
It should come out of a revelation of God's truth and God's word. And so here we were, in fact, I was 23 years of age when we got married, but we were married for 15 years. And I was going, God, we've tithed our whole life, but there's no financial breakthrough. Where is this wonderful thing of living in a financial free position? And in that began a journey and a search on our behalf to say there must be more to it. We're missing more than just giving, giving, giving. There has to be other steps that aren't in this financial equation. Came across this incredible verse. I'm going to ask Pastor Luke to read it from 2 Corinthians.
This is 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work.
I want us to stop. Whatever campus we're in, online, I'm going to get Pastor Luke to read that again, but think about the words as they come out of his mouth.
And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work.
All grace. That word grace literally means favor, liberality.
Right.
So in other words, it's not just a get along or just get through theology. God says, I'm able. If you were to walk my way, I'm able to make all grace. That word grace, as I said, is that favor and all sufficiency. Again, you would think when it comes to the word sufficiency that, well, there we go. All we need is what we just need right now. But in the original translation, sufficiency has the understanding that you are in a position that you need no extra aid or support. You get to a position in life is where God wants to get us to, where we're not having to do a whole lot of things to get by. We're in a position where we don't need anything else. And when you think about that, I'm not sure how many of us have ever got there. I know for us, we certainly weren't there as we began this journey. And that whole word of abundance is super abounding in quality and quantity. Okay, just stop for a moment, because even if you're new to faith or you've been a Christian your whole life, are you super abounding in both quantity and quality when it comes to financial areas? So I would say, even though I've understood these principles for a long time, I've discovered it's a journey to get to the place where God wants us to live every day at. So therefore, this is not something we should just throw away and say, well, there we go. You know, it's just all about money. No, this is about finding God's pathway to financial freedom. And so if we go back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion.
So stop for a moment, as I like to do when I'm reading scripture, and I say, so I don't feel I'm nearly anywhere close to reflecting who God is. I'm in a pathway. I'm on a step-by-step learning understanding, but God says, I've been made in his image. So the way that God looks, and you get an idea about the environment that God operates in, even heaven, there's a description of it's a place of abundance. Yeah. It's a place of blessing. It's a place of more, ever more, as God is a creator. He's moving us, he's creating for us an environment to live in. And so that thought of that's who he is, and then God blessed us and God commanded us to be fruitful and to live a multiplying life. Okay, question is, are we just surviving and yet we've been a Christian for many years? Have we been taught it's actually humility to have nothing? Are we listening to a world that says that's the trouble with the church, it's always talking about money, and we are slightly guilty of that because we've been talking about just give more, rather than creating a financial freedom pathway? And so if you were to take time, not just listening to the message, but to think about it and talk about it, I think you begin to discover the wonder of what God can do. And so my search caused me to go to God and say, God, I need to come to your word again and again and again and find an answer to my situation. And I came back to this thought of, again, it's about principled living, which became the birthplace of the God, Money and Me book. Because it is years and years of saying, God, I still am not breaking through. What will cause me to break through? And this thought of principled living came into focus. And it was like God was saying, you've got to build a foundation to your life. You've been a builder, Luke. What are some of the components of building a great, strong, concrete foundation?
Well, they say there's four key ingredients: cement, metal, sand, and water. And on their own, they're important ingredients, but once they're mixed together, they create such a strong foundation you can actually build from.
And sometimes in church, we're a little bit guilty of even teaching that there's just one thing you need to do and it's all going to come right.
Right.
It's like, just pray that God will bless me and I'll be blessed. And God says, yeah, I will instantly at times move and bless, but I want to cause you to live a principled life and to create a pathway you can stand tall on and move towards the purpose that I have for you. And so there is, I'm going to put on the screen and hopefully you can see it, four ingredients that I've come across that are a part of a principled life. If we can have those on the screen, and that will give you an understanding that it's more than just believing God's going to bless me, but I've discovered these four things are about stewarding, the need for us to steward the things that belong to God. It's about seeding, and you, if you've been in church, would have heard a lot about, hey, if you sow, you'll reap. And that is a divine principle, divine law. It's not only about those two, but also it's about saving. Come on, younger generation. Spend everything you got. Let's do it now while it's working. And older generation. Have we ever thought generationally? We'll go there. We're going to touch on that. And then it's also about spending. If you don't have a principled approach to spending, you can be seeding but not breaking through. Because all of those four components, as you've said, Luke, come together to form the foundation. If you only have some of them, it looks the same, but what happens under pressure?
Yeah, well, you've always said foundations form futures. And so it can look, even on a building site, like it's strong until weight or a storm comes that reveals whether the foundation has the right ingredients, which is why this pathway is so profound and important.
So the first part would be something that, if, again, we've been walking with God for a while, we would have heard, is about what belongs to God, or stewarding. And stewarding is releasing God's authority in our finances or our financial world. Wouldn't it be amazing if we knew that God had full authority in our finances? And we think sometimes that's just going to be ours. Well, we belong to God. He's going to do it. And God says, no, there's a test. There's a trust issue that I'm going to check out, whether this abundance that I want to come your way will be your reality. It's whether you steward what belongs to me is not yours. And as you begin to dig into that, you discover that that is something God asked. My parents so drummed that into me that, as I said, all of my life I can't remember not giving God the first tenth, any financial gain, not just salary and not just wages for doing something, but even gifts that came my way, I knew the first tenth belonged to God. We still are committed. Wherever we prosper financially, we give the first tenth to God. And we'll see it throughout the series, but that tenth, God says, it's mine, so I choose where it goes. It's not like, well, yeah, I'm going to put 10% aside for the things that I think I'd like to use it for. It's God's, and he says, test me. So let's read Malachi chapter 3, verse 6.
For I am the Lord, I do not change, says God. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings.
Interesting words that God didn't say, you have robbed from me. He says, you have robbed me. Literally, when you study and you look into it, God's saying, you're robbing me from being able to step into your financial world. Because you're taking what belongs to me. And you may be sitting there, as rightfully most of us have been there somewhere in our journey, saying, So if we were to give God what belonged to him, and as we look at it, the first tenth, how would we survive? And God says, you're not understanding. It's not about surviving. It's about allowing me access to bring about a supernatural outcome. And it may not be an overnight gift, but it is something that comes back to principled living. And I'm going to step into that and move. Go on to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 23.
It says, much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, and for lack of justice, there is waste.
Anybody getting excited about this? Right now, it's a lot to take in, and a lot of people would be apprehensive because it's like, well, what does this pathway consist of? It's the first thing is stewarding. Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, but for lack of justice. Do you know the word justice in the original means this, divine order or ordinance? It's the same word that God uses that, again, the ordinance, divine ordinance, is this, everything that belongs to God, which he goes on to explain is the first tenth. So our stewarding is about honoring God, which is what is his. You go to the second thought, not only do we need to steward, but we need to seed or seeding. The second component of the foundation is activating the law of sowing and reaping. Yeah. You can blame a lot of things for where you find yourself, but one thing that is a divine law that never changes, your end will look like the seed you've sown. You're saying, well, Paul, does that mean that what happened to me that I had no control on is my responsibility? That's not what I'm saying. Is I'm saying God has seed for you to sow whatever situation you find yourself in to create a harvest even in the worst. That's why I'm so passionate about the subject, and I get a lot of hate mail. I get a whole lot of things that sometimes happen because I realize that God's divine laws is what brings supernatural breakthrough, and even in the area of finance. So we're not going to back off because we want to see people liberated. And maybe you've had one or two of the components, but not all of them working together, and they have to be mixed together. Because if you don't mix those ingredients in concrete correctly, you're going to have weak spots. But as you bring it all together, and so the second ingredient, firstly stewarding, is seeding. Actively or activating the law of sowing and reaping. Our harvest reflects the seeds that have previously been sown. And of course, the seed that we sow needs to be in the right kind of soil, and it also is going to incorporate our sweat. Because when you say sowing and reaping, well, I've sown and I expect to reap. Did you know it's the law of sowing and reaping? The harvest, or the farmer, doesn't just put seed into the soil and expect all of the harvest to be fully formed and protected from any weeds that seek to choke it. They have to work with the seed that's sown to bring it to full harvest. Stay with me. We are unfortunately subjected to, even in our faith, of getting part of the answer, not the full picture. And so you sow seed, but it's the law of sowing and reaping. In other words, you're going to have to do the mahi. You're going to have to do the hard work to make sure that seed comes to full fruition. And with all of that, the power of God in that, you know, you think about the start of life. Here we are, an incredible thing that God is doing across both New Zealand and Australia. And to see the miracles take place. But how it began was this. We started with a dream. Marie and I and a few committed people started with a dream to see something impact our community like we'd never seen before. Had no guarantee of any financial support when we left Australia and came to New Zealand. And then along the way, in the first few weeks or a month or so, our senior pastor said, even though we're in a building program, I feel like we should give you a level of salary for the first 12 months. We made a commitment, Marie and I, that even though it wasn't that much, we would put 60% of that money into establishing life. That meant, seriously, at times we had no meat for food, we just had rice and sauce. But we were so committed to the principle of seeding for harvest. So if you're in a place where you feel like you don't have much, seed creates a harvest. But you're going to have to follow that principle through. Recently, I was told that this calendar year, across all of the Ministry of Life, we will see $27 million worth of community impact taking place. Come on, we should thank God. There's a lot of people that have no understanding of God's principles for breakthrough that today are thanking God because there's food on their table. It started with a seed. And the challenge of that is a challenge for every one of us. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7.
Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap.
That word deceived means to be led astray. You can start well, but you can be led astray. The more seed you sow, the greater the harvest potential, as long as you do all of the harvesting work with the seed. And as you understand that, there is an incredible level of breakthrough. The tithing is God's test, but the seeding breaks us into a whole new level of breakthrough, and I love that. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 9.
But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver.
What's your attitude when it comes to paying for something? So we go out for coffee or there's an opportunity for you to do something. What's your attitude? Well, I just don't have much, so we've got to be really careful. I think we've got to be wise when it comes to money, but God says, did you realize that generosity is one of the keys? Yes. So if you take what you do have at the start of life and you say, we're just going to believe God's word and we're going to activate that, we've been entrusted with so much more. So you say, well, we're not in your world. No, but the principles of God don't change. Whatever world you find yourself in, let me give you this thought. Many things are beyond our control, but harvest is not one of them. Worth taking that into the small group and talking about that. Great to talk about that if you're married or you've got a circle of friends. Many things are beyond my control, but one of them is not harvest. If I sow seed, I will reap a harvest. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6.
Yeah, it's such a powerful scripture. It goes on actually, Isaiah 32 says this, a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. Wow. I just think it's such a challenge. I mean, I've grown up in a household where you and mum have always exemplified generosity, and I've seen it in our own lives and I've seen it in other people's lives because I love the scripture because it says a generous man devises generous things. And I think, like you said, how we approach how we live makes a big difference, not just to our own lives as we're learning because of this pathway, but to the lives of those around us. And I've seen that in my own life. I've seen you guys do that. I don't know if you've got any stories around that, but it's a pretty powerful thought that if you devise them, you'll actually not only benefit yourself, but the others on the other side of your generosity reap a benefit as well.
I think it's a positive thing, and it's part of God's plan is for you to think about what it is to be generous and how could I be more generous. Generosity is not just to do with money. When was the last time somebody who's leading you, whether it's at work or maybe even here at church or wherever, you took time just to sow a seed of thanks? Well, why would I thank them? I don't get what I want from them. It's the opposite principle that God lays down.
Right.
He says, if you become thankful, yeah, but you know, I married the wrong person. What's the answer, Pastor? So I'm not the pastor, talk to Luke. He's my pastor, so if he tells me to wear the same as him, I wear it. Got a mental block now, I got off track.
Generosity, sowing seed.
That whole thought of preempting and deciding. We've been so taught this principle in particular, and the first one, that our family fight to pay the bill. And you might say, well, we don't have the resources. That's why we're teaching. That God says, I blessed you that you would multiply and that you would break through. It's not an overnight answer. It's about stewarding and it's about sowing. It's about us taking the truth of God's word and really pushing through with all of what that means. And there is one more verse I had there.
Yeah, Genesis 8:22. I love this. It says, while the earth remains, there is seed time and harvest. As there is cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night, these shall not cease.
This is an emphatic statement that God says. If you're alive and the world is still going, this law still activates. It brings a change if we would embrace it. So we're talking about creating a financial freedom pathway. Let's go on to the third component, stewarding, seeding. The third one is saving. As soon as I mention the word saving, those that have a lot of money sometimes say, well, I don't have a problem with that because I've got enough. God didn't call you to have a good life just for you. The whole purpose of the kingdom is that we would build a generational platform. And so therefore, we've got to learn to save. Even if you don't have much, you can save something. And if you get this principle and begin to understand it, you're going to bring a breakthrough because it's building a generational legacy. The wonder of saying other generations are going to be blessed because I understood saving. Grew up with a dad, and I understand him and mum are both Dutch. He came to New Zealand when he was 21 years of age. He had $25 in his pocket. And he had to fight for everything that he had. And so he learned a lot of principles about what it takes to succeed. But again, I'll never forget the counsel he gave to me when I didn't have much and I was looking for some help to get something that was really valid in both of our opinions. But this is what he said to me. He says, Paul, I started with nothing and I had to learn a lot. You need to do the same. Principally, what he was saying is if you don't work, if you don't put in the hard yards, then you're never going to amount for really anything that's going to stand the test. But biblically, he was incorrect. Because God works on a generational format. So therefore, we want the breakthrough right now when we get the principle right now. And yet God says financial freedom may take one or two generations even if you embrace everything that's being shared today. That's when we want to go out and have a coffee and we want to do something we can do now. Whereas I want to encourage you to think about building generationally. What in your financial plan is set aside to help generations? That's a big challenge. A farmer doesn't consume all of their seed. They keep a good portion of the seed to make sure that the harvest will go to generations. Whereas we consume so much of what is there. And God's kingdom is built generationally. That is something we need to understand. Any thoughts on that?
No, I think if we are to actually see even just the favor of God last and tarry on this earth, it comes down to, are we willing to not just live for now, but live with a delayed gratification, is the way you've always taught me, so that the generations will know that there's a God who loves, who cares, who is the answer. But I love that thought of, you know, God will bless us when we choose to trust him with the seed, but he'll also bless our generations when we choose to trust him with the saving.
Let's go on to Proverbs 13, verse 22.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous.
Oh, there's a good person. God says, you know what a good person is? Somebody that is thinking generationally. So therefore, we need the hand of God's blessing to come into it. Got to embrace the law of sowing and reaping. But also a good man. So my parents, they did a lot of great things and helped us in so many things, so many different ways. but never thought generationally when it came to finances. All of us should be experiencing the blessing of financial breakthrough from not just our parents, but our grandparents.
Right.
Marie and I are fully committed to taking whatever comes our way, honoring God, understanding sowing and reaping, but then also this whole thought of saving. So we have 6 grandchildren, 2 have just been born in the last months in the last year. All of our grandchildren have an account. You say, yeah, but you're blessed. Well, God said I could be blessed, but I had to start somewhere and it's not going to happen overnight. So they get a portion every time we get a financial increase goes into their accounts. And they are of the understanding that whatever they get from that and whatever they get from if there's any equity in any property that we have, that is going to go to them to help get a house, but it's on the condition that it goes generationally. So much of our financial things stop when we stop. You're not going to build financial freedom in one generation if you start with zero, but you will build a pathway that leads to that breakthrough. So I want to encourage you that if you're not thinking about not just your children, by the way, it's children's children. The priority is on the grandchildren. Why? Because you can't build it in one generation. It's got to go generationally. Can you imagine if your grandparents had been living with a portion of what they earned for you? You might say, I wish I was your grandchildren. Well, why don't you change the legacy picture for the years to come? It's going to take a sacrifice somewhere. Come on, let's thank God for that and believe God can take us to that. It was Warren Buffett that said these words. He's a man that made a lot of money.
Do not save what is left after spending, but spend what is left after saving.
Did you hear that? Just think about that. It's worth watching this again and saying maybe we need to implement that. The fourth one, or the fourth ingredient of the 4 parts of building this foundation, this concrete generational freedom, is spending. Stewarding, seeding, saving and spending. You go, I got that one down. Every time there's a sale, I'm there. I can spend easy. Your spending should be determined by the level of your income. You may say, well, I don't have a job. I just haven't got a job right now. I'm out of work. You can get work. By the way, you want to spend more? Work harder. I know you don't like me, but I'm not your pastor anymore. It's kind of, come on, this happens. Melbourne, Adelaide, here, in every campus, online, listening to this message, God's saying, you've got to get your spending in control. Don't spend what you don't have.
Right.
Let me put it in a nutshell. That's the answer to it. That's what Thomas Edison said. He says, never spend more.
He says, opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like hard work.
Yeah, that's it. You say, I'd like some more opportunity, then be prepared to work more. Marie and I, for the first, I would say 15 years of our marriage, in fact, you could argue it's continued on, never worked the equivalent of 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. Most of my life, I've worked between 60 and 80 hours. I was able at the age of 15 to buy a 125 motorbike, cash. Oh, you had rich parents. No, we had Dutch parents. Anything we spent, we had to earn. But I worked 4 days a week after school and all day Saturday. And many of the younger generation say, I don't want to live that kind of life. That's okay, but you're going to have to work if you want to spend. And if you learn that, you're going to find financial freedom move powerfully through your life. And that is, for me, the answer. Thomas Edison said those words, opportunity is most often dressed up in overalls. And so remember this, all of us have got the same hours of work. We've got 160 8 hours. Most people arguably would say I do 8 hours a day sleeping. So if you added all of that up, you would spend 56 hours sleeping. You've got another 112 hours at your disposal, used obviously to eat, to travel, and to do everything that you love to do, connecting with people. But that would afford you 60 hours, if you think about it, where you can get up and do some work to increase your income. We unfortunately are in a generation which is a handout generation. We get it through the media. We are here to help the poor, but we should be primarily helping them to understand how they can take responsibility to step up. So we will help the poor, but we're not giving handouts, we're giving hand-ups. We've got to keep on helping people to work to the place, because that's where their fulfillment in life, that's where their strength in life, and we want them to live a life that blesses generations to come. Warren Buffett also said, life is a level playing field. Everyone can, let me get the word.
Learn
what I have learned. Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world. You can learn what I've learned. Yeah. Principled living brings a breakthrough. So you say to me, maybe we'll get the team to come up. So Paul, how do we live this out? And I wrote this book called God, Money and Me. And I would encourage everybody to get a copy of that. In fact, I think today we've got it here. Today we are going to give a copy to every family that hasn't got a copy. Because this is a book that's got many pages to it. You can hear a message and be moved by a message, but you're going to have to do the work if you're going to find what it is that I need to do in my particular situation to find financial breakthrough. We even produced a book called The Prince in the Secret Garden, which has just been put out recently for children, because we need to teach them financial principles as they start out in life. And we've got a whole curriculum now for kids that are going to be run through the kids' ministry throughout the next few weeks. And I'd encourage you to get a hold of that. But let me think about it. If you think about how do we find or work out this financial freedom pathway, in closing, just think about this. If God says the first tenth belongs to Him, then the first tenth of our increase, not the second, not when we can afford it, the first tenth. It's not like, well, I'll see how my situation is this week. It's like when I receive, I put it aside because it's about honoring God for who He is. Then, of course, all of us pay taxes on the money that we receive. So we have the first tenth, we have our taxes. Whatever is left is what we get to make a decision about. And that decision, I would say, should be worked towards over the months and years ahead, to you would work towards and believe if God says the first tenth belongs to Him, then I should have another tenth that I would be using for what? Blessing people. For just saying to people, I'm going to sow into your world. And you might say, I couldn't afford 20% with taxes in there as well. It's a goal that you should set. So the first tenth is God, we pay tax, what's left. We have another tenth that we would work towards, again, seeding. You might even start with 2% and then build that as it grows. Start where you're at and begin to seed, because seeds create harvest. Yeah. Then saving, whatever you're seeding, you should be saving. You say, what does saving mean? I would say the first thing you do with your saving money is pay off any debt that you have. We should not live in debt that dominates us. Get rid of debt, and then it should go into a house, and that money should go generationally. All of your saving, this is not saving for a holiday, that's in your discretionary funds. It's actually putting that before God. So you steward, you seed, and you save. That saving is that whole combination working, and then you're left with spending. So if I'm making it clear, I hope I am, first tenth is God's. Then I've got to pay taxes. What have I got left? Then I'm going to have 10% as my goal. That would be to sowing. 10% would be to saving. And 80% is my spend limit. I could never live on that. As I said, maybe you need to work harder. Love me. discredit me, but I'm trying to build or help you build a foundation to financial freedom. Amen.
So awesome. Maybe you could just pray for every single campus here in New Zealand and Australia over us, because I think this is such a life-giving and sort of life-changing message. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I'd love to pray, and get a copy of the material, because you need to go there yourself and get more understanding. Father, we thank you that you're a God that always wants to be released into our blessing zone. Your heart is to bless us. Your word makes that clear. But you try us, you test us, you ask us to prove you. And today I pray that this would be the beginning of a shift in our mindset, and we'll have much talking with others about. And we'll just ask for your strength to lead us in this financial freedom pathway. In the name of Jesus, amen. Love you heaps.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I trust you're encouraged by this incredibly powerful word. You know, you've always got a place to call home here at Life, and I want to encourage you to join us in one of our campuses in Auckland or Tauranga, or why don't you join us at Church Online. To find out more about Life and to stay connected with us, why don't you visit lifenz.org.